Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, August 13th, 2014. Wendy Wilson will be joining us in just a few minutes today. And Alfred, good afternoon.
Hello, Melody.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah, we know.
Okay.
See, Frank was asking.
Yeah, nobody needs to know. Anyway, let's go right on what the folks do need to know, of course, is the price of gold and silver. We have gold up 3.7 today at 13.13. Again, she tried to get away up to 13.15 and came back, but that's okay. We'll take the $3. Silver was not as good of a day for silver, down 11 at 19.90. Platinum was down 2 at 14.71, and palladium still continues to climb the hill up 2 at $884. The USDX today is also climbing higher, 0.08 at 81.59. Crude oil is up 13 at 97.50 in the paper markets today. Had plenty of oxygen. They're up 91 points on the Dow. 16,651. That pushes it back into positive territory for 2014. And the NASDAQ was up 44 at 44.34. And the S&P up 12 at 1,946. And the 10-year yield down 0.03 at 2.41%. And we'll just make it a quick market report today. There were some numbers coming out. We can always discuss those when we get back. And a lot of interesting news going on regarding the economy. And it just goes to show, again, those leaves in the breeze, Al, that that we talk about so often.
Well, one thing after another, that's all it is. It's, you know, you see these domino effects when they set up all these dominoes on a basketball court, and it takes them a couple of weeks to set up all the dominoes, and then when the moment comes, they tip over one domino, and we're used to that. It moves fast. But what's happening moves slow. What's happening in the economy, the domino effect is there, but it doesn't move with the same speed we're used to seeing on the basketball courts. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where sometimes you miss the consequences because it's as if slowly. They're happening slowly, one to the next, and but they're still happening, and the domino effect does appear to be in place.
Well, with that domino effect, the next one to be knocked over is when. Well, that's not a good segue. Let's just go to Wendy Wilson anyway, from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hey, Melody, how's it going? Hi, Al, how's it going?
Just fine.
Good. Hey, we're going to talk about
incontinence today.
Well, we're going to talk about a neurotoxin treatment that the FDA has approved for anything that is associated with incontinence, also known as leaky bladder or even overactive bladder. And according to the Urology Foundation, there's 33 million Americans that are affected by incontinent issues. So that's 30% of men and 40% of women tend to live with this problem. So the condition of the bladder, you know, seems to be out of control. But what's interesting is it's affecting people, especially females, at younger ages. There's women in their late teens, early 20s that are seeking treatment for incontinence issues. So it's a problem, and it seems to be escalating and affecting more people. And so you can have this problem develop, like it comes on when maybe you're exercising, laughing, sneezing, coughing, or maybe lifting something heavy, and all of a sudden you have to rush to the bathroom. So it does disrupt our lives, and it impacts it in a negative way. And according to Dr. Mary Townsend, she's an epidemiologist at Brigham Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School in Boston, she reports that incontinence is a problem for women of all ages, not just the elderly or postmenopausal women. She says, but it's really never been addressed or seriously considered and looked at, according to her, by medicine. So now we've got this new treatment. I want you to try to guess what the neurotoxin is, Al. Can you take a gander?
Botox.
Yeah, exactly.
Botox. That's good guess.
Yep, it is. It is really an interesting thing that they're using Botox for this.
It'll take the frown lines. It'll remove the frown lines from your nether region. Is that what this means?
Well, no, not exactly. Let me just first, you got to understand how the body's affected by an incontinence. What happens is the bladder stores your urine, and then there's this tube that carries the urine called the urethra, and then there's these muscles called sphincter muscles, which help the urethra stay closed to prevent any urine leakage until you're ready to go to the bathroom. So then there's the pelvic floor muscles that help support your bladder and all these nerve endings in your bladder wall. And the nerve endings will send a signal to your brain to let you know, hey, the bladder's full, needs to be emptied. Then, of course, your hormones are involved as well to orchestrate all this function and to keep all the urethra and the bladder lining really healthy. So a failure can occur in any one of these areas, creating an incontinence issue. So basically, they give people bladder training, where, you know, you try to go to the bathroom several times a day on a clock to try to supposedly train your bladder. And then they often give you Kegel exercises to strengthen the pelvic floor. And then, of course, drugs. They give drugs to block those nerve ending signals from the bladder to the brain so that it blocks that urgency sensation. So, but a lot of those drugs have side effects like dry mouth, constipation, and it can create vision problems. But getting to what Melanie just said, basically, yes, the FDA has approved Botox for incontinence. So Botox is really Clostridium botulinum, and usually it's a mold spore or a spore that you can find in soil and in untreated water. It's also found in animal digestive tracts, fish gills, and in shellfish. Now, when this pathogen becomes a problem is when the spores change and they become active cells, and then they grow and multiply, and then they release a deadly toxin, which is known as botulism. Now, get this, Al. Science has been involved in producing botulism neurotoxins in 8 different subtypes. And the DNA sequencing behind these subtypes is withheld from the public, and we're told there are no antidotes available. We're also told that the botulism toxin is one of the most poisonous pathogens to man, and a single gram can kill 1 million people. So anyone
when
who
we use bio,
high,
when we use bio, what is it? What's the proper name?
What?
Melody just said it a moment ago. When we use this toxin, what's the proper name? Botox. Excuse
Botox?
Me, I'm trying to say biotox.
Well, that's just Botox. That's just the medicine name for it. Yeah.
I get that, but what I'm trying to get to is the toxin, is it actually alive and viable, or is it all dead when they use the Botox?
No, it's not dead.
And it's not.
That's why if anyone receives a too high a concentration of the Botox product, they can be poisoned with botulism because they start to multiply, and they develop what is really a life-threatening situation. They usually have a respiratory arrest and die pretty quickly.
So it's possible to OD on Botox.
Right, and there's really no antidote. Basically, you know, we're familiar with Botox, the term, the product used for temporarily removing wrinkles. Now, it's approved also for migraine headaches, post-stroke recovery to treat cross-eyedness. Of course, now the incontinence and some other illnesses. They have 8 off-label uses for it. Basically, it's at the discretion of the doctor. And it can take 24 to 72 hours for Botox to paralyze the muscles that they are targeting, you know, your frown line, wrinkles, and everything else. But it could take up to 5 days with some folks. And basically,
if
there's a lot of side effects.
If you're especially grumpy, the Botox won't kick in for 5 days. Is that what happens?
I don't know. I guess it just takes longer in some people to relax the muscles or paralyze them, as that's what Botox actually does. And there are 180 adverse reactions to Botox that medicine knows of, and 16 people have died after receiving Botox treatments between 1997 and 2006. So it's very precarious. The product also has a black box warning label. It's never been approved, get this, for use on the face above the eyebrows. So it's never been approved for use in removing crow's feet around the eyes, laugh lines, or that brow line between your eyebrows. So it's really at the physician's discretion whether to use the toxin in those areas. And those treatments last about 6 months. And if you decide to go with the Botox for incontinence, I recommend you do your homework first. But if you do, it has to be repeated every so often, and a single treatment can cost you $1,000.
You know, this is – I can remember reading in an Ayn Rand novel, maybe Fountainhead, maybe – I don't remember. It might have been Atlas Shrugged, I don't recall, 40, 50 years ago. But there was a description – she made a comment about the frown is the first touch of God on a man's forehead. It's evidence of thought. You understand? And this isn't exactly Botox, but when you do take Botox to eliminate your frown lines, does it make you look stupid?
Well, I call it the discernment line, you know, because when you have wisdom and discernment, you're not so easily deceived, and you may get that little look to your face like, right? And so you squint your eyes a little bit, you get that little line between your eyebrows. So, hey, I don't think it's bad. I think it gives people character. And, if everybody wants to look like, you know, Mattel's Barbie, I guess they, you know, I think lines give people character, to be honest. But I should go over some side effects.
We all think that as we get older. We don't think that when we're younger, but we think it when we're old. As soon as we get, that's what those lines are. The lines in my face are evidence of character. It's not
that's
evidence
right.
I'm getting older.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
let me ask you
there's
this about the neurotoxin that they use for incontinence. Is it something that's injected? Is it something that you take orally?
Right. It's what I was going to get to. They do. You have. It's an in-office procedure. most of the time. Sometimes you have to go to outpatient for it, depends on where you're at. But they do inject the toxin directly into the bladder wall. And so what this does is paralyze the bladder muscle or semi-paralyze it, so you don't have those urgencies and things like that. But there's lots of side effects to this. You got to be aware that you can have edema, swelling, pain. You can have transient numbness, so this thing can travel. You'll have the feeling of being sick and nauseous. You'll also have weak paralysis of muscles, flu-like symptoms, gallbladder dysfunction, and you also have vision problems, which could decrease your eyesight, because you can have bleeding behind the eye and it affects the cornea. Also, dry mouth, fatigue, rashes. Get this, inability to empty your bladder, and you may have to use a catheter. So I'm wondering, why would anybody want to go for this? And then, of course, difficulty breathing. That's on the list as well. But they did do some clinical trials on this for incontinence, Al. They did do some clinical trials for this, and you know what? The benefit, the risk doesn't outweigh the slight benefit. People who tried this compared to a placebo group, they said their incontinence episodes were reduced by less than 2 trips to the bathroom, and but the side effects were painful urination, which had to be treated with pain meds. Urinary retention, they couldn't empty their bladder, so a catheter had to be used. And then also urinary tract infections, and they had to have antibiotics. So I don't see where the benefit and the risk is high. And it costs so much. I'm like, personally, I'd rather use some herbs that have been known to reverse this problem in less than 2 weeks.
Well, that's absolutely. If you've got herbs, it'll straighten out any problem in 2 weeks. That's the way to go with this stuff. The idea of having people inject you with needles that may affect your eyesight, and the rest of the list of possible adverse consequences you're talking about, you've got to be almost crazy to do some of this stuff. Make you wonder how people get into this in medicine. That's some of the dumb things people.
Well, here's something that's even stranger. This is really, remember I mentioned the subtypes of Botox injections. They have the subtype A, which does have the black box warning. And what this is made with albumin, which is a derivative of human blood. So on the box it says, effective donor screening and manufacturing processes ensure that there is only a extremely remote chance that Botox users would be at the receiving end of a blood-borne viral disease. There have been rare spontaneous. I know. There have been rare spontaneous. What?
I was just saying it's encouraging to know that you only have a small chance of acquiring a blood-borne disease, maybe Ebola,
right.
But it's rare. Very few people get that, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, then it goes on to say, and there have been rare spontaneous reports of death after treatment with botulinum toxin. There is a reference to rare reports of adverse events, including cardiovascular event, some with fatal outcomes. Botox users with certain neuromuscular disorders could also have trouble swallowing and have to face the possibility of respiratory compromise, and in some cases have lasted months, and patients are required to have a gastric feeding tube, end of quote. So you might need a feeding tube with this because you lose the ability to swallow, that muscle mechanism. Isn't that great?
Yep.
Well,
yeah, that is bizarre. That is just bizarre. What they're saying essentially is that one way or another, they're maybe working on the sphincter in your bladder, but whatever sphincter is involved in your throat for swallowing, that thing goes out the same time the other one tightens up. It is bizarre. And when you look at this, it is just amazing that people pay money for this kind of stuff, put themselves in harm's way. Now,
absolutely.
You've got another product. You've got something else.
Yeah. We do have an excellent kidney bladder cleanse kit, and it's all about strengthening the bladder wall, cleansing everything, strengthening that sphincter muscle so you don't have that incontinence issue. And, of course, removing some of the things in your diet, of course, would go a long way, like caffeine and alcohol, which tend to fill the bladder up quickly because it acts like a diuretic in a lot of ways. So if you'd like more information, you can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com, or ask for our product catalog. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, and the kit's less than $70.
All right, thank you, Wendy. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Alfred Addisk, and here I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, let's get to our caller first, and then we can get into some retail sale numbers. We have Chris. Chris from Kentucky.
Well, Chris.
Hello, Alfred, Melody. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Okay. Yesterday, you made a very well-documented, very good yesterday about the Federal Reserve in the fiat. That's not our money. It's debt. That's all it is. And you're so right. I've learned so much about this because gold is protected. And, you know, this fiat is not. This is nothing but debt. You give it out to you, you got to give it back to the borrower that you're going to get you. It's not your money. Same way what these banks work. And
it's a very strange concept, and yet I have no doubt that it's valid. They work on this basis. It's part of the reason they can come in, kick in the door, and come take your computer, for example. And you stand up and say, you can't take that computer, it's mine. Say, do you have a receipt? Says, yeah, I got the receipt right here. They look at the receipt, it's got a dollar sign with a single vertical line in it. It's not evidence that you do own the computer. It's evidence that you don't. Legal title to the property you've purchased with those Federal Reserve notes goes to the Federal Reserve. You have equitable title. You have a right of use. And very people say, what difference? I get to use it. It makes a lot of difference. If you don't really own it, you're just a sharecropper.
Just a sharecropper, just like we had here this weekend. You know, we had just had the PGA here in Louisville, where I live. And it's just, great, the dollars of the ownership. They really spin this people out here. Folks, it's not your main. The economy is being eroded by this debt. And it's called the Federal Reserve. Yeah. My grandma, when I got older, when my grandmother passed away, I have a whole bag of silver coins that she left. I got them, and I held on to them for all those years, and now I'm really glad I did, because I know what she meant. She knew this in the 1930s. And she said, don't ever trust the Federal Reserve. When I was a little kid, did not understand that. But she said, when you get older, I'm going to handle this, but you'll see generations down the road. Equifax, she was right. Absolutely right.
You know, you're talking about during the 1930s. You're talking about in the midst of the Great Depression, she collected the silver. During the 30s, during the Great Depression, people routinely said cash is king. And from today's perspective, we've heard that, and we're led to believe when they talked about cash being king, that we're talking about paper dollars. But the truth of the matter is, we were talking about silver during the 30s, and even gold up until 33 when they pulled the gold out. And from 33 on, we still had the cash that was king was actually silver. And it might be you could use paper, but they were silver certificates. And this is an important insight to my mind, because it tells us that if we get into a similar event when cash is again king in this country, it probably won't be paper. The real cash will be gold or silver, and that will ultimately be king. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, or certainly don't anticipate this happening in the next 6 months or year. But push comes to shove, if cash is king again, it shouldn't be fiat currency. It should be gold and silver coin.
Absolutely.
Anything else you got for us?
Yeah, I just want to thanks a lot for this. I'm spreading the word around about the program, because it's hard to wake up people, but I got a few people I've talked to about this or where it's going on. But if we got to keep going, folks, because we really are in trouble.
Yeah.
I agree.
I agree. And why are we in that trouble, Chris?
Because I think we've been, like you said before, that we've been indoctrinated that the cash is king, and the government will take care of you, even save money for you in your IRAs and your 401ks, and they think that the way we've been so indoctrinated. The Constitution...
It's not only... On the one hand, it's been indoctrination. On the other hand, we have a profound level of ignorance.
People don't
understand anything about money other than how to count it. They don't understand what money really does. They don't understand what it is. They have no concept of it. And all they know is how to count it, how to spend it, and they think that's all there is to it. And the truth is, it's far more, it's a much more powerful concept than just spending or counting. It goes way deeper than that. And the people that do understand it, they can become fabulously wealthy, and the people that don't understand it can become incredibly poor. And right now, we don't understand it, and as a result, we are headed in the direction of incredible poverty.
Yes, that's very true. You're right. And it really is true. And like I said, the Constitution says to coin out money. Our founding fathers knew that government wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And look what we got into.
Yeah, I understand. And that's another good point. People don't appreciate what it says in the Constitution. That's the people's law. That's our law. We created the government, and we have law that the government, the condition is we create and give you people in government a certain amount of power, but here are the rules. And the rules are in the Constitution. That's the people's law. That's not the government's law. It's the people's law. We are the author of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt. It's right there where you can read it. And that has never been repealed or amended. It's still part of the law, and yet that law is ignored. And it's ignored because the people don't even know what's in the Constitution, and insofar as they even bother to read it, they don't understand it. And so we can't enforce the people's law because we have become dumb as a box of rocks. And the government gets away with violating the law. And as they get away with violating the people's law, guess what? They are putting the people in dire circumstances. We're in big trouble in part because we haven't understood our own law. We haven't enforced our own law. And the government says, it's easy as taking candy from a taxpayer.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening.
Exactly.
So, ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know?
That's right.
And
you're absolutely right.
It follows, I don't doubt it's true, and it follows that we will also become prosperous to the extent we are willing to regain knowledge. When we find a world when this nation becomes more interested in education than it is in entertainment, we're going to turn a corner and go back to good times. But as long
That's
as we
right.
think the key to life is entertainment rather than education, spend my time being entertained rather than educated,
mm-hmm.
you're headed for trouble.
And this town just
All
like
right.
that. And they don't want to be.
Yep.
As long as they get their entertained. And what would you say? Back-to-back Kentucky Derby and then the DA. They just want to be entertained. Good point, Albert. That's the.
Yep. All right, Chris. We're going to have. Well, thank you for your call in part because you don't really have a great connection, and it comes in, goes, and you may be able to hear
yeah,
us all right
there. On your side, too.
Okay.
Early
on
Thank
this.
You, guys.
All right. Talk
to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Thank you for listening. What's next, Melody?
Well, not to make light of this, we do have an election year. And I was asked this morning on a program, what did I think was the number one issue when it comes to the upcoming election? But here in Minnesota, a dog was elected mayor in Minnesota. So maybe we should have more animals running for office. A small Minnesota village has a new mayor. Duke the dog is Cormorant's newest mayor. There's a whole 12 people who live there that elected a 7-year-old dog as its leader. Duke may not understand politics too well, but he's doing a great job guarding the town. And, you know, he makes sure the cars don't go too fast so that they stay within the speed limit. And he's going to be sworn in on Sunday. And he's not going to get a salary. So it's what politicians, I agree. I don't think politicians should get a salary. And there was
yeah, they
a
should
pet
be
store.
Able to pull enough where it's not necessary to pay them also, but go ahead.
But the pet store has agreed to donate a year's supply of food for his service. So maybe that should be more of an election issue. You know, just changing the politicians and getting someone in there that has a bigger bark than bite.
My question, my concern here is what's the Minnesota law on how old you have to be to run for office?
Well, you know,
is this dog years, if the dog's only 7 years old, does he meet the minimum age requirements to be a mayor? Or is
it's interesting that you brought that up because Louisiana, they're in, they have a new law preventing anyone 70 or older. From running for a constable or justice of the peace in Louisiana. The law was fairly easily passed, but now, however, it's drawing the deadline for filing to run in the November election is approaching, and there is a someone that is 77 years of age. He is qualified and capable of being justice of the peace, and he was elected 42 years ago. So, you know, he thinks that the people in his district should decide if he is capable or too old to represent them. So here in Louisiana, age is an issue for running for office. So,
well, at least intelligence, honesty, and integrity, those are not issues.
No.
But we
age.
Will deal with age. We can elect dogs, and we can't elect old people, but and the rest of it we won't worry about.
Yeah. What a world. world.
I understand.
And if people, you know, some of these articles, if they're not buying gold and silver yet,
Yeah, you're just not paying attention. If you're not buying gold and silver, you're just not paying attention, really, are you?
Yeah. Speaking of sales, we have retail sales today. It flatlined in July, and it's been virtually unchanged from a month ago. And that was how the Census Bureau had described the numbers. However, they'll talk on the good side. They were up 3.7% from a year ago. And if you exclude autos, sales were up 0.1%. And, of course, everything was below any type of estimates that came off of Wall Street. So, you know, they don't look at this too much. They don't want to make too much of a big deal about the slower retail slows. But retail sales growth has slowed in every month of the second quarter, and that dull trend is carrying over into the third. And, of course, when you talk about the rebound that we had from our weak GDP number growth in the first half of the year, you know, these numbers are not going to it doesn't seem like there might be a lot of revisions to that second quarter GDP that was so strong. So,
there has to be.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not going to revise it upward. It's going to be revised downward. By the time we're done with that thing, they're going to drop it down at least close to 3%. They may even drop it down into 2 point something. Hard to say, but I don't think they can sustain the 4%. But they might. They might sustain it just as an outward and overt lie. Right?
It's election.
We're lying. That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Well, when you think about it, it was during the last election when the percentage of the unemployment dropped so drastically, and there was people out there saying it's impossible.
Yeah.
And everybody agreed it's impossible. And people who said it was impossible were called liars. And, you know, they said, well, here's the proof. And it was still ignored. But it was from that point that things just continued to drop. And it was all based on lies.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about declining sales for the last several months, this is consistent with an article we had here on the program last week, I think. Might have been Monday this week, I don't recall clearly, but pointed out that a study by the Federal Reserve indicated that 52% of Americans can't deal with an emergency that costs more than $400. In other words, if something comes up and it costs more than $400, you need a new transmission on your car. You've got to have new tires on the car. Something happens and somebody breaks an arm and it goes into the hospital or whatever. You get a surprise of $400 and 52% of the American people can't deal with that emergency unless they sell something or essentially go borrowing money from someone else, which means 52% of the American people don't have $400 in cash to their name. And that, I don't know if that scares other people, but I think it should. I know it scares me. People don't have that much money. Certainly, they should be afraid to spend it. You're down to your last $400. You have no business going out to get drunk. You got no business taking the wife and kids out for dinner. You got no business going out and spending into the economy the way you may have done in the past. And to me, this is consistent with the idea that sales are declining. People are getting scared.
There's very little discretionary income. I mean, all the great job growth that they've talked about, it's mainly all minimum wage staffing at part-time jobs. So how can that retail spending gain any type of momentum? How can the GDP show the numbers that they've shown? When I was on a program last night, Dr. Stan Monti's program, we had a call. And he says, I sell cars. He works in a dealership. He says, the only cars that are being sold are by people who don't have the money to pay. He says banks are loaning the money on the high dollar vehicles. Nobody, yeah. Banks won't loan on low value vehicles. If you could buy a used car for $6,000-$7,000, people can't get financed. They get financed on the bigger ones. because people don't have the money. And of course, when people don't have the money, you know, they go in and they get deeper and deeper into debt. They buy things that they can't afford. So instead of buying that $10,000 vehicle, they're buying $20,000 vehicles. So, and just like we saw at the top,
pull out auto sales.
How's
that going to work out? Everybody knows that can only lead to trouble. We're going to have to break and take. We'll get back to this in a moment. It's time for some commercials. Frank's got to play the music. Al and Melody will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Murray writes in. He says, how hard would it be to get none of the above on the ballot? Mm-hmm. And I think we all should all write in Ruby's name. Ruby.
I think Ruby. I don't,
Ruby Cedars. Ruby Grace Cederstrom.
To be a mayor or a president or what?
Anything.
No, I'm not voting for a female to be president. And Ruby is a female, so she can't run for president.
Boy, is that sexist for mayor, or what?
I'm going to vote for her for president.
Are you sexist or what?
Absolutely.
People get lawsuits placed on them for making comments like that. But you know Al? You know what, Al?
I'm not afraid.
You know what, Al? I wouldn't vote for one either. So, you know. But I'm trying.
Works out. We've already got one bitch running for the presidency in 2016. That would be Hillary. We don't need a second one. I wouldn't want to see Hillary as Ruby.
Be nice. Well, anyway.
Just observing our national affairs, Melody.
Well, let's continue talking about, just to finish this up real quick, about the retail sales, you know, and it's all about autos. And if you get the rates, you know, the Feds can keep the rates low as they can, and you know, allowing banks and other lenders to offer these rates on loans to keep people coming in, you know, trading in and upgrading their vehicles. And but how long can the economy grow on car sales? Not very long. I mean, that can't be the mainstay of our GDP growth. So, you know, it might make a little bit of an impact, but for a short period of time, but certainly not something, particularly when these cars aren't even made here.
They are talking about focusing on automobiles to some extent. They're doing it with subprime lending for people who want to buy cars. And we just went through that situation with subprime mortgages back in 2005 through 2008. And we've already seen this. We've been there and we've done that. We know this is bad news. They're doing it again, and they have to get – it is part of the nature of the money system, in my opinion. We have a debt-based monetary system. If people won't go into debt, this whole thing is going to shut down. And that means they've got to let anybody – do you have a pulse, sir? Then sign here and we'll give you a car loan. They'll give you, they're going to give car loans to the homeless before this is done. Now, I may be exaggerating to some extent, but still there's a point to this. They need people to go into debt in order to make a debt-based monetary system continue to function. We reach a point where 52% of the people can't come up with $400 at any given time. Well, this system's going to go down unless everybody can get it deeper, 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 and deeper into debt. And even then, it's going to go down. It's inevitable. It's just stupid. It's insane. We've allowed ourselves to go off on a track that is self-destructive, but we've done it because the people who did it, they essentially just laughed and winked. They said, this is going to be cool for a generation or two, and when you finally get to the generation who has to pay the price on this, well, too bad for them. They didn't care about what was happening in the future, and so they could take advantage for their generation, and here we are. Now we're caught in this. In any case, they're doing more subprime loans for automobiles because they need more debt, and the whole thing just becomes... The reason we're in this problem is we're so deep in debt. Fundamental reason we're in this right now is government says it's $17 trillion in debt, and it's probably perhaps as much as $200 trillion in debt, including unfunded liabilities, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Can't ever be paid. You know, this is one of those things where this is one of those experiences like, you know, the little boy who points out that the emperor is nude. Everyone else is standing around saying, oh, the emperor is so well-dressed and the rest of it. The little kid says, no, the guy's nude. We're going to have that moment where we realize that the government, which has been dancing around as if it was all-powerful, we're going to find out that it's buck-naked because it doesn't really have any money. And we're getting close to that. People are seeing this overseas. Putin sees it. China sees it. They understand. Government, our government is so far in debt, we can't exert ourselves in the way we have in the past. If we had money in the U.S. Treasury, yeah, we'd still have some force that we could wield in different parts of the world. And we still do. We're not completely powerless, but we are headed. Our powers are certainly declining. Nobody's going to deny that, and they're almost certainly going to continue to decline until we get away from debt and we start to concentrate on acquiring assets. And again, this is part of the reason why we tell you, get yourself some gold, get yourself some silver. They are assets. They're not debt. It's a big improvement. An average person doesn't get it. They say, what difference does it make? These paper dollars spend. I can get these paper stocks and the rest of these paper debt instruments, and it'll all work out fine. Maybe not. Maybe not. In fact, probably not. The only question about the paper debt instruments right now is when. When do they go up in smoke?
We were talking about discretionary income, and here's another sign of just how little people have. And I mean, I guess in some respect it is good that they're not wasting their money in Atlantic City, but the casino revenue is down 11% in July, mm-hmm. as compared to than they did a year ago. And they started the year with 12 casinos, and before fall, they will only have 8. And there's a brand new casino, the city's newest casino. They're already announcing that it's going to shut down. I think it was only been open for a year or two. I guess just a little over 2 years, their newest casino, and they're looking to shut down, bankruptcy. And so, again, you know, Atlantic City is a place where you go for, you know, that spending that discretionary, you know, the extra money that you have in your pocket for entertainment, and it shows that it's not happening. Unless, of course, people are doing it on the Internet now. Who knows?
No, I don't think so. It's possible. I get that. But I don't believe they've shifted from gambling in, you know, a regular casino to gambling on a computer to a significant degree.
I wouldn't think so, because if you really looked at a lot of the people who went to the casinos, of course, they were the older, elderly.
And are you suggesting that old people don't know how to run computers? Is that what you're saying, Melody? You gave me some. You got to be careful, Al. Saying some of the things you say, but you, Melody, you can still imply that the elderly are not computer savvy.
Well, I'm one of them, so I'm one of them, and I'm proud of it. But
yeah, so
it could also be a part of it. Maybe they're dying, too. I don't know what the drop in population would be.
No, that's not what's going on. People, it's so bad that people can't afford to gamble.
No.
It won't be long. They won't be afford to be able to afford to get drunk or do drugs. That'll be the sign, ladies and gentlemen, the final sign when people can't even afford to get drunk and do drugs. Then we'll know the economy is definitely at just about the bottom.
Well, you know, you talk about getting drunk during a bad economy. However, that's one place where it does pick up during a depression is the because people have a tendency to drink away their problems.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean they have to buy their alcohol. They can make their own out of
guilt.
That's what will happen. That's part of the reason we probably had the Roaring Twenties with the alcohol was prohibited. But people need alcohol in the midst of a depression, and so they made their own. The government said, that's crazy. We're not getting tax money. We're not getting tax money off this alcohol. We can't have people getting drunk and high without paying government. If you pay government, well, yeah, it's okay, but...
Let's talk a little bit about Social Security and then also about the silver fix, because we're coming close to where we're going to have the changeover on that. It looks like the Social Security Administration is closing offices now.
Yep, that's a report from the Daily Cause. Social Security Administration is implementing a critically flawed and poorly understood series of office closings and service reductions at exactly the same time as more and more Americans rely on the Social Security system. 80 offices and 500 contact stations have already been closed, with more closures planned soon. And here's the worst part of it, according to Daily Cause, it's being done without public input. What can it possibly mean? You know, they're closing down access. They're going to make it more difficult to reach Social Security. You look at it and... you could say they're becoming more efficient. They will have a stronger presence on the Internet. It might be. But it really looks to me like they are going to make Social Security less and less accessible, because perhaps they anticipate they're going to have some very serious complaints in the near future. I'm going to shut down the complaint department. Got any complaints? Too bad. You know, you just get in line and we'll get to you maybe later this afternoon. Should be only an hour or two before one of our people can address your problems. It's not a good sign. It's not necessarily a lethal sign. It's not necessarily a terrible sign, but another one of those leaves in the breeze. Now, Social Security is restricting public access to its services, to its facilities. It can't be a good thing. We've got another one here. You wanted to talk about the silver fix. We have had a London silver fix that was an institution that was responsible for setting the price of silver on a global basis. That's been in existence for over a century. That will cease to exist the 14th, tomorrow. will be the last day of the London Silver Fix. On the 15th, they have a new entity coming in that's called the London Silver Price. All right? But here's a report. This is big and this is important. With only 3 trading days left when this report was written, until the new electronic auction-based and auditable substitute for the 117-year-old silver fix goes live, there is still no certainty over who will take part on Friday. They are replacing an institution that's 117 years old. They assumed it was going to last forever. They've only decided to get rid of it in about the last 90 days or so. This was sudden, unprecedented, and the reasons are not really made public. They're bailing on the 117-year-old London Silver Fix and replacing it with the London Silver Price. And just 3 days to go, and they're not even sure who's going to participate in the London Silver Price. The whole point to this, the most important point to this, in my opinion, is the implication is that the London Silver Fix is being driven out of business by increased regulation and civil and perhaps criminal liability for manipulating silver prices. They see it, and the 3 banks that were running the London Silver Fix, they're saying, enough of that, we're not going to jail, we're out of here. Now they've got to get somebody else to take over the responsibility for setting the price of silver, but they are also going to be threatened with civil and criminal liability. And it means they're not going to be able to hustle and control the price of silver to the same extent they have in the past. They're not going to be able to exploit the people of London and New York and the United States and the world to the same extent they have in the past. I don't mean that all price manipulation of silver is going to end. But from my perspective, it looks like it's going to be diminished dramatically. The amount of price manipulation will be diminished dramatically, in my opinion, sometime after the 15th. I don't mean that come Monday the price of silver is going to skyrocket. That's not my prediction. But I'm saying that when we get back, you look 90 days from now, I think you're going to be able to see a bend in the graph that'll correspond to roughly the 15th of this month, 2 days from now, and you're going to see silver begin going up. Why? Because the silver fix is no longer there. The silver price isn't really going to be in control to the same degree that the silver fix has been. And all that suggests, if you want to get some silver at a good price, now might be a good time to do it. You might want to get your calls in today. You might want to get your calls in tomorrow. I don't doubt there'll still be good prices next week, but I'm telling you, there is at least a strong probability that silver is going to rise significantly starting after, say, Monday of next week. We'll watch and see, but, you know, I'm not predicting silver is going to $50 in the next month or something. That's it. But I think we're going to see a difference because the manipulation, price manipulation, can't continue the way it has in the past. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Hask here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.